Weekends were made for sports.
Now do the robot voice. I want to hear it again.
Meet more sharp robot.
That's a terrible robot voice.
A look at the weekend in sports with the inside story on the Blazers, the Ducks, and the Beavers.
Everyone, meet freelance alien bounty hunter, Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp? The football guy?
Yeah, I hunt aliens now. Used to catch TDs, now I catch ETs.
You ever caught an alien, Shannon?
Not yet, Mr. Question, but I'll let you know when I do.
This is Sports Sunday with Mike Lynch.
Where are the turtles? Where are the turtles?
Come on, guys, get out of here.
Where are the turtles?
And Rashad Taylor.
Nobody calls me Lebowski. You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
On 1080 The Fan.
Hour 2 of 2 here on Sports Sunday. Mike, Rashad, Joe with you. Hate It or Love It coming up at 10:30. Talking about the proposed return of sports, basically. The NBA, NHL came out with their initial plans. The NHL has a plan. July 1st, the earliest, it will start its training camp. Two hub cities, 2014 playoff. 5 through 12 play each other in a five-round series. Five-game series play-in round to get to the top four teams that were in the conference. NBA hasn't fully made a plan yet, but they're thinking Disney World, 16 to 20 to 24 teams, most likely just all the playoffs as well, although that again has not been fully made. But the question I have is, so let's say this is the case and they come back in early August, right? July 31st is the NBA's date. You know, if there's a month of training camp in the NHL, it'll be about August 1st as well for them. That's just a couple weeks before football would be coming back, if football's coming back.
Oh, they're coming back, they said, with all their fans.
Right. Some people are saying that. College football's still in a little bit more dire, or a lot more dire straits than the NFL, because it has to do with colleges and kids coming to school and all that kind of stuff. But we could be in a point in time in August and September where every single sport is going on at the same time. You could have, again, this is just if things start or keep improving and the numbers keep going down, you could have the NFL, the NHL, the NBA, the MLB, college football, the MLS, European soccer, tennis, golf, NASCAR, all happening at the exact same time, which would be sports nirvana for some and mind-blowingly overwhelming for other people. And for me, I think I'm more towards the mind-blowingly overwhelming, because I like to watch almost all of it. I have like a very good rhythm of like when I watch all my sports and what I watch when and what I care about more and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, for me, and again, you know this about me and most of the listeners know this about me, I love the MLB. I love baseball. And I watch every single Yankee game in the regular season that I can. And I watch a lot of regular season baseball if it's just on TV. It's going to be very hard for me to say, as a person who would want to watch a random regular season baseball game, to say, I'm going to pick, even if it's my own team, I'm going to pick Yankees Rays today over watching an NHL playoff game. Or I'm going to watch Yankees Rays today over watching Monday Night Football. Or I'm going to watch Yankees Rays today over watching, a Blazer play-in game, right? Because I would always put a Yankee game number one in my personal hierarchy, but it never has any competition, really. At the end of the baseball season, I do get football competition, of course. I try to double screen it. You know, you watch Red Zone, you watch the game on a computer, and you watch that on your TV or whatever. But I've always been very fortunate because my favorite sport doesn't have any competition, mostly because baseball is going throughout the summer. Now it's like, am I guilty for watching a regular season baseball game when like you have playoffs in the NFL coming back? It'd be very weird for me. I'd be very overwhelmed.
Well, who's in the playoffs? What teams are playing? Like, I think that matters too. Like, if it's a, let's say the Lakers are playing, who's the Clippers? Somebody who's out of the playoffs.
Already, I can tell Rashad cares not at all about the NBA
I'm
right
saying,
now.
Like, who's out of the playoffs? Like, who's completely out? I could say the Clippers.
The Suns.
The Suns. We know who's going to win that game, right? There's no reason to watch that. So therefore, yeah, right? So therefore, you can go ahead and watch your baseball game at that point. Now, there's something crazy and the Suns actually do win. Devin Booker makes a crazy shot. You might feel silly about missing that game for watching a regular season baseball game.
Yeah.
But you're a baseball fan. That's what you do. So that would totally make sense, like, if to pass up a playoff game that you know is probably not going to be very good, a 2-7 game, a 1-8, probably not going to be a very competitive game in some cases. So I don't think you're missing much by going ahead and saying, okay, I'm going to go ahead and just watch this Orioles-Yankees game.
Yeah, but I care a lot.
You do, and guess what?
And I feel responsible as a radio guy to follow all of these things as well. And
that's
it's like,
why they made box scores, bro.
That is true. Uh-huh. I could go full Mike Francesa and just read the box score on the air.
Read the box score and say what, then read the, you know, some of the highlights and everything.
Yeah,
you're good.
I know. It's just it's gonna be very, very fun to have a wealth of options, and it's gonna be amazing if you have a man cave, which I do not. But if you have like a man cave that has a couple of TVs on the wall, this is what that is built for, right? Like you open that room on Saturday morning and you put three college football games on and you're in heaven, right? If you have that kind of room. But imagine you've got three TVs, four TVs, and you got NHL, NBA, MLB, and NFL on all four of them.
It's like a sports book.
It's like, exactly. You have your own personal sports book, except even in sports books, that never happens because not all the sports are happening at the same time. I feel like it would be a lot of fun as well to have a room like that at this point. And I've always wanted a room like that. It'd be really fun to have a room like that just to, this way you don't have to choose. Just, hey, sports are on. And then you can sit there and focus on whatever you want to focus on.
No, yeah, that's very true. I don't have a man cave yet, working on it. But at least if I want to have that little sports book kind of feel, there's a channel that I can turn to and I can get all the games, all that are playing at one time, which is pretty cool. So I can go there.
You have that?
I do. I have DirecTV though.
Oh.
Yeah.
But isn't it channel. Isn't it just like the NFL games are
no,
all?
No. So there's a certain, it's called Sports Mix. Mm. And so I can turn there and every basketball game that's on is just like right there. So then I will just take my controller and go to, I can still stay on that screen, just highlight the box of the game I want to hear.
Aren't the boxes pretty small?
They are. So if I want to look at that game specifically, I just go to the box and press that and there it is.
I see. But then don't you also have to have like the packages for that? Like, don't you need to have NBA League Pass or?
Yeah, but I have League Pass, so.
Oh.
Well, because here's why. Like,
you got your methods?
If you don't have Comcast, or excuse me, Xfinity now, if you don't have Xfinity.
You can call it Comcast, Rashad. It's okay.
Okay, thank you, because I don't like.
It's still Comcast.
I don't like name changes. I still call it the Rose Garden. I don't like change like that. But if you don't have them, then you can't watch the Blazer games, and that kind of sucks. And here's the cool part. Even when the Blazers play somewhere else, like, that game is still blocked out on DirecTV. So I had to make sure that I could watch at least other games if I couldn't watch the Blazers play.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
And you've got methods.
And I've got some methods. You know what I'm saying? May or may not be a hacker. May or may not be.
Ah, a hacker.
Yes.
Very fancy.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, I'm very excited for that to happen if it comes that way. I just, I definitely am going to be overwhelmed by it. That I know.
I'm looking forward to that. Like, I'm okay with being overwhelmed for now because I've been overwhelmed with boredom for the past 3 months with nothing to watch as far as sports on, old sports. Last week we looked at the golf, we'll call it a tournament. What do we call that? Golf challenge with Tiger and Phil.
The match.
Yeah. So we watched that. That was cool. That was just sports. So just something to watch as far as guys playing sports. And so that was pretty cool to watch. But I was that desperate that I watched, you know, two guys that should probably never make the pro tour play golf, and then two of the greatest of all time do it. So
I didn't watch a lot of that. I saw some of the clips of it because, again, I'm not really a golf guy. But I felt very similar to you in that when the German Soccer League came back, I woke up at 6 a.m. and watched the first game. That was, that's stupid. It's this German, it's Bundesliga. I don't care about the Bundesliga. I know about it. I know the teams, but I don't care. But it was like, it's sports. It's live. And it's a sport that I like. Okay, sure, I'll wake up at 6:20 and watch it on Fox Sports 1 and put some money on it. And, you know, once... all the sports comes back, I probably will stop watching Bundesliga because I don't care. I'll watch the English Premier League because that's what I do care about. But I'm doing okay without sports. I've mentioned it many times, but clearly
there's
something that was in there because I still had that moment of like, got to get up and watch it.
So is that league as good as the Premier League?
The Bundesliga?
Yes.
No, it is. It's a top four league in the world, but the Premier League's the best league in the world.
But you still watch that?
The Bundesliga?
Yeah.
Well, I'm watching it now because it's the only option. I don't watch it when the Premier League is an option.
So, okay. Okay. I'm just asking.
I see what you're trying with this, man, but I'm just asking.
Okay.
I see what you're trying to do in trying to once again say that I wouldn't watch AAA baseball and you think that I would.
And I think you would. Like right now, if the Yankees, which aren't playing,
now the only baseball I could watch was the Yankees AAA team, I'd probably put it on. Yes.
Okay.
But if there was other things to watch, I would not watch it.
But if the Yankees played on like a Friday and then your AAA team played Sunday, there's no other games, might be one other game.
I'm not watching it.
Okay.
I'm not watching it. Same with this. I will not watch the Bundesliga if there's Premier League to watch. But it's the only soccer league on right now and it's on TV, so I'm watching it.
Really? I don't believe you.
Thanks. Thanks, Ron Burgundy. All right, coming up next, the MLB, we thought had the best-looking plan moving forward, and then the owners got greedy. So we'll talk about that next. This is Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
10:18 Sunday morning, Sports Sunday. Mike Rashad Joe with you. Les Schwab Tires podcast is where you can find the show afterwards. Remember, listen to the very first segment if you haven't. It's important. The text line has changed, by the way. It is starting tomorrow. It's already existing this way, but starting tomorrow, 55305 will no longer work. It is actually just the station's phone number, 503-250-1080. So if you want to text the show, text 503-250-1080 and we'll get the text, and 55305 is going to stop working, cease existence, I suppose, on June 1st. So take that out of your phone. No more 55305. We loved you. You did a lot of good for us for a lot of years, but now it's 503-250-1080.
That's like three or four more extra numbers I have to type in now.
Seriously.
What the hell?
Like once you put it in your phone, it's saved in your phone. You can save it as like fan text line.
Very inconvenient, Michael.
And then when you want to text the fan, you just type in FAN and then there it is. There's the number, and then you can send the text. You have a text chain that still exists and you just keep adding to it.
So it's a lot of additional work though. Like those numbers.
What?
Just saying.
No, it's not. It's gonna be great. It's easier. You can call and text on the exact same number. It's great. That's the whole point.
Are we taking calls now too?
Oh. But you can call
us now. Well, no, don't call. Well, I mean, people can call. I mean,
we're not going to pick up.
Will we answer?
I mean, we can answer.
No. I answer.
Yeah, it depends on what they want to talk about.
I sometimes
about.
Answer.
We did that one time. Somebody called in and they literally talked for like, they filibustered for like 12 minutes. And we were like, okay, and no more calls.
We did that?
Yes, man. You don't remember? I don't know. I can't remember. This was like, we had been on for maybe a year or something at this point and wanted to take a call on something. It was about the Blazers, and literally this dude talked for like 8 minutes and we kept looking at Jesse at the time going, okay, cut him off. It's good. No more. And he just kept going. So after that, we decided, you know what? We're going to X-nay the calls.
Maybe it was so bad I blocked it out of my memory.
I think
when we started the show, it was like, oh, maybe we'll take some calls, right? Like, you know, that was what, 6 years ago? Not 6 years, man. 5, 6 years ago? Is that how long it's been?
Oh, man.
You know better than I. That was a start for you. But I remember having this thought of like, well, you know, I know that the station doesn't take a lot of calls, but maybe I take a couple calls. Yeah, I mean, that ended very quickly.
I mean, I would be okay with taking a couple calls. Like, I mean, depending on, you know, seriously, at the end of the show, like, man, what you want to talk about? Considering everything that we talked about, or I wouldn't mind taking a couple, but it'd have to be like two or three. You know, any more than that is like...
It's a scary proposition.
We become Rome.
Just text. Text 503-250-1080. I also have to keep saying it to myself so that I never say the 55305 again. Because the amount of years I've been saying that number...
Oh, like, man.
503-250-1080. Text 503-250-1080. Yeah. 2011 was when I started here.
Wow. That's, man.
In August or September of 2011. No. October. October 2011. Baseball playoffs. The first thing I ever did on The Fan was I ran the board for a random baseball playoff game. That was the first thing I did. I was in a small little room. And we used to run games out of the small room called Prod 3, which is now just a room for us to record stuff in. And no cell service. And I was like, ooh, glamorous life of sports radio. Let's go.
Yeah. No, I mean, I remember the first couple shows that we did. Pretty rocky. You know, I kind of look back at those days for me and was like, yeah, that was, you know, kind of a learning curve a little bit, you know.
This is not easy.
Everybody thinks they can do radio, like, and we found out at Hunt for the Host that everybody cannot, you know, do this thing, but it can be difficult, man. Like, at first, you remember we used to come, and this is just a peek behind the curtain for folks. We used to be on from 8 to 10 before we changed from 9 to 11.
Thank God we changed to 9 to 11.
Oh, my gosh, man, because we used to prep for an hour before we actually went on.
Like, so, hard prep.
Like, seriously, like, at the computer, man, typing, like, looking up stats and trying to figure out different stories and all type of stuff for at least an hour. So getting here at 7 every Sunday morning was a battle, you know what I'm saying, for both of us.
But it was important to prep at that point because we were both new at this.
And yeah, I had no idea what I was doing.
Because this was my first time hosting, was working with you as well.
Yeah.
I hadn't hosted a show before.
So this is my first time on the radio at all, so I didn't know what I was doing. So it was really, that time was really important. Now it's crazy, like, I don't know, like, I mean, we prep, but it's more like, hey, we're gonna talk about this now.
Yeah, we don't really prep.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about this day. Anything you want to talk about in particular?
I will give myself usually a little bit of like a little note where I kind of write things down that I want to talk about, but it's different than it was, where it was like I had like a like an outline to an essay for the show, like really, really detailed. And now it's more
times,
of just like
breaks.
Yeah. It's like, here's, you know, the things that everything I want to do and here's what we're going to get to. But there's not as much structure to it. I mean, God, yeah. Some days we're here at like 8:50.
Joe had like a whole
8:55.
Joe had like a whole me notebook, like full of things that we were going to talk about for
well, see,
Sunday
because Joe hasn't hosted that often. When you start hosting, you want to be really prepared.
And we talked about that. My very first show when you were gone, like literally I had 3 pages written down of what I was going to say or what we were like everything as far as what I was going to specifically say, this line, then this line. Like I spent hours writing that at home just making sure it could be good for that day. And it was awful.
Did you really have like a whole thing of like notes, Joe?
No.
I had, I think, maybe a page and a half, like a little Google Drive doc that I started up. I will say that, you know, the previous times of doing the Hot Corner hosting, filling in, doing those opportunities, that used to be around 3 pages. So
you're getting there.
So it's reduced. Yeah, exactly. I'm not stressing as much, obviously.
Just, you gotta get acquiesced into the fan culture of prep.
Have some links ready. You're fine.
Yeah. Read off Google.
I think it counts like when you've, like for Lynch and I, this is 6 years now that we've been kind of doing the show, right?
Yeah, you kind of learn what the other person is interested in, and there's a rapport. And
yeah, so at a point, man, you don't really prep as much. I'm sure Isaac and Sue.
Well, they don't prep together at all.
Yeah. No, they do everything.
Isaac,
you know,
does
separately.
Do prep. And they both prep, but they just prep separately.
No, yeah, exactly. And I think that's kind of what we read the stories and make sure we kind of know what we're talking about. And then this way when we come in, you're able to do
also it. A little different when it's daily versus weekly. Absolutely. Weekly's pretty easy. You're like 2 hours and I got to just talk
whatever
about what happened over the week.
Pretty easy.
Great.
Pretty. The only bad thing about doing like a weekend joint is like if it's been talked about ad nauseum, even if it's important, like you feel weird about bringing it up just because now it's like everybody's talked about X,
the last
Y, and Z.
Dance.
And so exactly. So that happened last Sunday. And so it comes back to us and like we get to kind of rehash it. So it can be a little overkill sometime, but it's kind of the, you know, good and bad thing about being on Sunday.
One other note we got to get to is that the Fangolf Classic this year is not happening. It is being postponed until 2021, which sucks because the Fangolf Classic is a great event. We all love going there every year. I don't golf, so I'm not a part of the event in that way, but I do make sure to show up at least once during the couple of day event and just say hi to some listeners and mingle and hang out. It's a really, really fun time down at Langdon Farm, so it's really unfortunate. But, I mean, we gotta be safe, right? We gotta keep in mind the virus that's going on. You don't want to have a large group of people. But Langdon Farms is open, so you can still go golf there. It's open, safely, socially distanced. All the measures are being taken are being taken there. So you can still golf at Langdon Farms. We will just not be having the Fan Golf Classic this year. Number 8 being moved to next year. So dang. There's the announcement.
That sucks. I mean, that's one of the cooler events, you know, that we get a chance to do all year. So I've only got a chance because it always happens when I'm in the middle of a summer programming for my full-time job. And so I never get a chance to really come and fully participate. But the two times I actually got a chance to go, man, it was awesome. And get a chance to interact with fans and interact with, you know, some of the people that are, man, really paying some great money to be a part of these events, man. So it sucks that won't be happening. But it sucks that a lot of our events have been, you know, canceled just across the country. This damn COVID, man. I can't wait for this thing to just subside just a little bit so we can get back to going to.
Hey, man, well, I mean, you live in Multnomah County. Oh, no, you live in Clackamas County, right?
Multnomah County.
You're in Multnomah County. See, for me, Washington County opens tomorrow. So, or at least for phase one.
Are you going out?
I don't know. I want to go back to the gym, but I don't know if my gym's opening right away. So, you know, that's one of those things like you can open, but then every company makes their own decisions. But next weekend, maybe Saturday, go out and get a beer somewhere. Yeah, I might. As long as there's a place that's open nearby. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm going to the shake joint where the shake dancers are.
Ah.
Yeah.
The strip club.
There you go.
The shake joint? I was like, you want milkshakes?
I like the shake joint, the shake dancers.
Milkshakes bring Rashad to the yard?
Oh, man.
And they're like, it's better than yours?
Man, damn right. I'm saying, you guys know the words. It's okay.
Let's say, do you remember the name of the person?
Khalees.
Yeah.
Khalees.
Because she didn't do anything else after that, outside of like date Nas. But
Khalees is, I mean, because she.
But didn't she really, like disappeared after
she
that song.
I mean, she didn't really have to because Khalees was responsible for some of those women's anthems. Like, I hate you so much right now. That was Khalees. Also, hey, dirty. Baby, I got you.
Well, that's old
so
Dirty Bastard.
But that's her. She's singing the chorus.
I did not know that.
So it's one of those things. Like, she's one of those people that's made enough, you know, money from that. But that milkshake joint, that's still like a hot girl summer anthem, you know? So it's one of those things. She's going to make money off of that forever. And also, man, that old Dirty Bastard record is played literally twice a day on the radio still. After 20 years, it's still played twice a day.
Well, it is a classic. Yeah. So there absolutely. You go. Also, if you guys are golf fans, go check out the pictures from Dusty and Dirt and Spray because they're down at Bandon Dunes today. It looks beautiful. It's a beautiful day down there, and they're trying out Sheep Ranch, which is the new course down there. And again, I know nothing about golf, so I feel like I should not be allowed to speak of this kind of thing because I know how revered Bandon Dunes is here, but they're getting to go play that. Go look at Twitter and see their pictures because it's gorgeous. All right. Coming up next, hate it or love it, first, Joe, sports.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
We got a text that came in on the fan text line, 503-250-1080. Stop texting 55305. It's going to go away after today. 503-250-1080. It says the solo Joe Hot Corner was legendary.
Mm.
And I forgot that you did that, Joe.
Yeah, I commented on it last week about how I'm never going to do that again. You try to.
It's really tough.
You try to heed a warning to me, you know, that it's hard. And boy, it is.
And you were doing it from the booth. Like, that's yeah.
Because I had done that once for the Hot Corner, too. And you have 2 hours by yourself. And guess what you can't do when you're talking? Read. So you can't take a second to like reference the text line or go find an article. It's just talking.
Definitely got to incorporate those pauses, you know, those 2 to 3 second pauses.
Those long Jim Rome.
The classic Colin.
45 second pauses.
People can think on what you just said. Yeah. Damn. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Really, really, really good thing you said there. Meanwhile, you don't remember what you said. You're just trying to find the next thing you want to talk about. It's really difficult, but it feels good when you finish it because you're like, man, I just completed that.
I pulled it off.
I did it.
Yeah, I was going to, I'm not going to lie, around the hour and a half mark, I was running into some trouble. It's like, okay, let's get this over with.
There's only so much you can laugh at your own jokes without feeling like an idiot.
Right, exactly.
It's like, no one else will react, but I think it's funny, so
right.
All right, Joe, what do we got today?
Okay, we have some sports stuff. Seems that the NBA is moving forward with some plans. They're going to have a vote on a Thursday on a format. And one of the formats that I read last week, I presented it to Rashad when we did the show last week, was that there's been rumblings about an all-day format of games being played, starting at 9 a.m. Pacific time and then essentially finishing the regular season that way, cranking out a bunch of NBA games from 9 a.m. to however late at night, whenever they finish, you know. So, fair, or I almost went hot corner there, fair or foul, hate it or love it, all-day AAU format is what I call it for the NBA would be sick.
Well, I mean, I love it. It would be fantastic. It would be NBA porn for basketball fans because you would just be able to watch basketball all day. It'd be like watching college football, but for the NBA, you just have an entire day worth of games. I don't think they should do it because I don't think they really need to finish the regular season. I think they can just go right to the playoffs. However, I also think they can do this with the playoffs because here's the thing. It's going to be weird being in one city, but you know what the benefit is? There's no travel. All the teams are going to be in Orlando. So they can just put games back to back to back to back to back to back with different teams coming into the arenas and doing it. You could have games the entire day for the entire playoffs. It would be phenomenal because you know they want to finish quickly because they don't want to go too late into the year because they want to keep as much of a normal schedule if they can next season as possible. I mean, you could have 7-8 playoff games a day because instead of having 2 or 3, you could have every series play every day. You don't need travel days. You need less rest days because you're all there. So it'd be absolutely perfect to have all those games. I think it would be an absolute smash success. The English Premier League is doing something similar. They're going to come back in mid-June. I think it's June 17th is the day they announced. And they have to finish their season. There's no playoffs in European soccer. Well, there's some, but not in the way that we have it here. So they have to finish their games. There's 92 games left in their season, and they want to be finished by August 1st. They're going to play games every day on TV, and it's going to be constant English Premier League. It's brilliant. It's the best way to get all the money that you can, keep your fans engaged, and get as many games back in as you can. It's the best plan, so I love it. Best plan, huge, great.
I love that NBA basketball in the summer would be sick. For the simple fact that you would have to get all those regular season games played because, like we said, the NBA has contracts with certain TV companies, so they have to play at least 70 games. That's the first thing. Number two, that AAU-style play is kind of what players grew up on. A lot of these guys that made it to the top levels, man, 95% of them came from an AAU circuit to where they played sometimes 2 and 3 games in a day. So I think being able to see multiple games played at a time would always keep us occupied and we'll be able to kind of get these guys back in game shape because at first, you know, when guys haven't played in a long time, there's been no training camp. There's been no real training for them at this point. So a lot of the guys are probably doughy and a little bit out of shape. I think you give them an opportunity to play in AAU style like that, you're going to get in shape much faster because as opposed to playing games every couple days or maybe one game and then 2 days off and you'd be playing constant games. So that would get you back in shape a little bit quicker. I love the idea of having everybody in one spot. Lynch nailed it on the head as far as the travel. So guys don't have to go. You don't have to worry about planes. You don't have to worry about traffic. You don't have to worry about any of those things that would kind of prohibit people from getting the best product on the field or on the court. So I absolutely love it. I think it would be 100% sick. It would mean basketball, literally competitive basketball, literally every single day until the playoffs start. And then even into the playoffs would be awesome. Absolutely love it.
All right. And going from something that you guys absolutely love to something that Mike said that he didn't even watch or really pay attention to, the match last Sunday between Tom Guilty. Brady and Phil Mickelson and Peyton Manning and Tiger Woods.
I heard it was raining.
It was pouring at one point.
It was pretty bad.
I saw
Tom Brady's pants.
Yeah, I watched. I think I started watching around like hole four and finished it out. And the beginning part, there was no rain, but back nine, it started to downpour. But not only that, just the S-talking between all of the guys, Charles Barkley getting in on the commentating, Tom, I'll donate $25,000 if you hit the green. And then Tom Brady shanks it right. Just everything that came with that. Me and Rashad were worried, like, oh, will this be good entertainment? Are they going to be more reserved because it's on TV? They knocked it out of the park with the entertainment factor, and it was awesome seeing non-pro golfers play golf with the real deal, with the professionals. So, hate or love it, you want more pro golfer celebrity matches like this?
I love it. I think the idea of kind of a mashup between professional athletes and professional golfers is awesome. Golf is the one sport that I think everybody can't play but can play it, if that makes any sense. Everybody doesn't want to look silly by going out there and playing basketball, playing a two-on-two. Everybody doesn't want to look silly going out there and trying to hit baseballs. You might look, you know, but golf is one of those things that if you're bad, it's okay, because the best golfers are bad on some days. So it doesn't. There's not really a huge margin for error there. And I think you have an opportunity to have some of the best golfers in the world, not even just Phil and Tiger, but you can start throwing in the Rorys and some of the other ones out there and have a competition with some prominent athletes that are also very good at golf. Steph Curry, Tony Romo, other guys that you know, we hear about being great golfers all the time, but you don't necessarily get a chance to kind of see them. So I love the idea of those professional athletes. And I think golf, again, one of those sports that everybody can play, but everybody can't play, you know, because we can all go out there and play a round of golf and nobody feels super stupid about it. But everybody can't go out there and shoot jumpers. You know, everybody can't go out there and throw a football. Everybody can't go out there and do that. Golf is at least one of those things that's inclusive for everybody, whether you're you know, in shape like LeBron James or you're shaped like John Daly. Like, everybody can go out there and play golf.
I love it, too. And I saw that Phil Mickelson said he wants to do this more with other athletes. He mentioned guys like who we all want to see, Michael Jordan. Mentioned Steph Curry.
Tired of Jordan. No more Jordan stuff.
I mean, seeing him on the golf course in a situation like that, side bets and all, I think it'd be great. And the trash talk, too, I think it'd be great.
They'd be like, Michael, this is for charity. We're not gambling here.
Damn right we aren't.
No, 50,000. Let's go. Come on.
Let's go right now. I think it would be good. I think this is the stuff that people like. They like behind the scenes stuff when it comes to their athletes and their sports. And this is not necessarily behind the scenes because it is on the golf course. But what you're getting is you're getting a non-professional PGA event where there's kind of freedom to do whatever they want. So hearing Peyton Manning was funny. Hearing Phil Mickelson talk through all of his shots because he was mic'd up was really interesting, especially for me as a guy who knows nothing about golf. Hearing him explain in explicit detail why he's doing certain shots is really cool. I liked that the announcers could talk to them. I liked that there was kind of that communication between everybody. It made for a really unique experience. And I think golf is the perfect, like Rashad said, it's the perfect avenue for it because, especially among athletes, everyone golfs. So you can get really, really well-known athletes to go compete with the best of the best, and they won't be as good as Phil or Tiger, and maybe it won't be Phil or Tiger every year. Maybe you bring some other guys in too, and or at least guys with good personalities, you would hope, because Phil was great.
Phil was the MVP.
Yeah, he was the MVP. Tiger was pretty good from the clips that I saw. I mean, he's Tiger. He's not the most exciting person in the world, but he had a little trash talk in there. Not the most exciting personality in the world, I would say. But I think it would be a smash hit even when sports came back because people love the behind-the-scenes stuff. They want to see the personalities of the players that they enjoy watching, not watch it in the same product that they always do. So, love.
All right, and just to crank out our one last one, also NBA-related, Damian Lillard, Portland Trail Blazer, made the news by saying that he isn't going to play in any games that aren't worth it if the Blazers don't get a chance to try and make the playoffs. I'm trying to remember who the other NBA player was that backed him up. But yeah, it's a sentiment probably going around the league among some teams that are on the border. I believe it was a Sacramento Kings player, Buddy Hield, maybe. Okay. Anyways, Damian Lillard, hate or love it, is in the right in this position.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, the games are meaning if the Blazers have no chance of making the playoffs because they only play a couple more games. Because what were they, 3.5 back of the Grizzlies?
Correct.
They wouldn't have a chance to make it. It's meaningless. So why come back at all? Risk the health of yourself, risk the health of your family. I'm talking virus-wise, but also risk the health in terms of injuries of anybody on the team, you know, when it's meaningless. that I fully support Dame for saying that, and I'm actually happy he said that because I'm sure he said what a lot of NBA players were thinking on those teams. We already heard Steve Kerr, this was a month ago now, say, my team doesn't want to come back, man. We were the worst team in the West. There's no point. There's no point for Steph to come back and play a couple of games. Or this, it's meaningless basketball at this point, especially once the season's over and it's all you've all been going home and you're all out of shape or you haven't been shooting, you haven't been doing this. Yeah, I mean, fully support Dame. And, you know, for Dan Orlovsky to come out and say he was an entitled, spoiled brat was the dumbest thing ever because he knows nothing about Damian Lillard. And he had to backtrack on that as fast as humanly possible. Yeah, so but love.
Also love. The one thing we know about Damian Lillard is nothing else.
We're very agreeable today.
Yeah, I mean, these ones weren't very, very hard. But the one thing we know about Damian Lillard.
We need some love today.
Absolutely. I love it, Joe. Dame is the ultimate competitor. We know it from things that he said as far as, man, I'm staying in Portland and I'm not leaving. I'm not going to go team up with the super team. He wants to win, but Dame wants to win the right way. He understands that right now this Blazer team is probably as healthy as they're going to be or as healthy as they've ever been. And really, moving into the playoffs with this team, they have as good a shot as anybody. And instead of saying that and saying, yes, now that our team is healthy, we can go in there and do something, he doesn't want to feel like he robbed anybody of the opportunity of getting a real champion. And so Dame is saying, man, no, we weren't there when it was time to go into the playoffs. We shouldn't be there now. So, no, I'm not with playing that. Like, while Blazer fans might be a little disappointed in that, man, you got to love the heart of Damian Lillard. He's one of those guys that if he doesn't win, I guarantee fans of the Trailblazers are going to be begging for him to be traded just so he can have the opportunity to go win on his own, just because he's shown, if nothing else, that he wants to win and he's willing to do it the right way for as long as he can here in Portland, man. I love the fact that this man stepped up and said that. I wouldn't have said it. This is like that those one commercials is like teamwork, pass it on, where the guy accidentally tips the ball out of bounds and they still give it to his team and he goes up to his coach and goes, I tipped it out of bounds. It's their ball.
It was off me, coach.
It was off me, coach. And it goes to the referee and they give the ball back. Everybody looks at that commercial and says, man, that's not real. I would never do that. Here's Damian Lillard saying, man, that was off me, coach, and we're not. It's their ball, and I'm not doing that, man. He's the ultimate competitor. He is the ultimate sportsman, and this is why people love Damian Lillard, and this is why he's one of the best in the league, and I absolutely feel him as far as not wanting to rob the rest of the fans of a real champion.
And that is why Rashad Taylor is the winner today.
Appreciate it.
Sealed it. Sealed the deal there. Appreciate it. Was close. Mike tied it there near the end, but last-minute shot. It's good.
For the win. Kobe.
Oh, my God.
That was a great goal just happened.
It was 1-0 in the 60th minute. It's now 6-1 in the 90th minute. Dortmund just destroying.
Ouch.
I know nobody knows anything about what I'm talking about, but they've scored, I think, 4 goals in the last 7 minutes. I'm not kidding. It's just been constant.
All right.
But, I mean, this is expected. Paderborn sucks. Okay.
More obscure sports talk from Lynch when we come back. I'm a fan.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
I needed to hear this song, man, for so many reasons. Crazy climate.
Actually, it's very fitting that you won for this song to play right now.
You know, I do everything I can, bro. You know, so this is one of those songs that it's silly, you know, because it's, you know, obviously it's a pro wrestling song and everything. But today it just feels like the words just hit a little. Sometimes things just hit a little harder. And today those words absolutely do for me.
I won't give in till I'm victorious.
Oh, man. So, and I think that's where we are now. The fight is just starting. Hopefully, you know, everybody is standing on the side of right, I guess, you know, when it comes to these issues and whatnot.
But, yeah. I mean, look, we spent the first segment talking about it. Rashad was very, very, very good, powerful, well-spoken, lots of great things in. It was about a 10-minute monologue that you did, and it was very, very well done. So again, I've teased it a couple of times, and Joe will tweet it out. It's the first segment of the first hour of the podcast. Very, very important to hear, I think. But yeah, I mean, the the reality is that this is just the start of this. You can tell. This isn't going to be like the Occupy Wall Street thing, which seemed to come and go very quickly. Mm-hmm. I know it didn't. I know it was around for a while, but this is different than that. This is way more personal than that. This is way more systemic than that. And it's just, I mean, this is day what, 3?
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally, it's just beginning. Now, I hope that it changes away from the rioting and the looting and the burning to more peaceful or actionable protests. But, I mean, that's where we are.
Yeah, for our city, this is about day 3. They've been doing this. This has been happening in Minnesota since Wednesday night, essentially. So
day 5.
Yeah.
It is very, very strange to be living in 2020 right now. Things are just weird. There's a weird vibe everywhere. There's a weird vibe with the politics. There's a weird vibe with the virus. There's a weird vibe with the protests. There's passion. There's hatred. There's fear. It's all intermingling together, and it's just... I keep saying this in my head to myself, and I know that you two at least will understand this, and hopefully some of the listeners do as well. I said it on primetime, and it went to deaf ears. This is America. Childish Gambino. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, that song. 2 years ago, that song came out? Maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
Very powerful video if you haven't seen it. It's not like easily understood, quote unquote. But he's telling you, he's giving you a very, very clear message in the video about how the society is and how bad it is, but how people are very lighthearted and dance through it as if nothing's happening. You hear that song and you see the video and you're like, yeah, I know that's true. But, you know, like I said, for me earlier, I said, I'm very fortunate that I don't have to deal with that. Because I was born a white man. But then you see what's happening here and you see the straw that broke the camel's back with George Floyd and you see the video in Central Park and just, this is America.
It is, but we can make it a better one.
Don't catch you tripping though.
Yeah, don't catch me slipping either. You know what I'm saying? But we can make this a better America, man. If we work together, we pray together, you know, we can make it through this stuff, man. Stand on the right side of right, then I think we can make it through this whole thing, man. I love everybody. Hopefully everybody's being safe. Let's move forward, man. Let's move forward the right
way. We'll be back next week, 9 to 11. Stay safe out there, guys. Be smart. And we'll see you next week.